Hello, and welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from, and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is always more to life.
God, we do thank you for all the opportunities that we have to gather with you in this space and all the spaces that we are found. God, that you meet us where we are. God, that you look past our faults with forgiveness, that even as we confess our sins, you always offer pardon. You always offer forgiveness. So God, even in this place and in this time, as we come before you, help us to hear what you would like for us to hear. Use the words that only you can speak through me, Lord. Use my voice, but hide me behind your cross. Let these not be my words, but your words. Let them be your love that is shared in this room and through those who are participating wherever they might be. May it all truly be for your glory through Christ our Lord. Amen. So during this Lenten season, these 40 days plus Sunday that are leading up to Easter, the worship team that helps to bring these spaces together thought that looking at Jeremiah 6:16 might have some timely messages for us. So let's again look at those words from Jeremiah 6:16. So this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. Now that last part, we will not walk in it, shows that this is a time in Israel's history where there's a lot of disobedience. And these words of hope are being offered to a very disobedient people. And it's a time of great duress. It's a time of a lot of stress and of pressure. I think it's a people that in some ways we can identify with, that are just feeling the angst of the times that they're living in. And the truth is, these moments where we stand at the crossroads, we all have them. We all know about these crossroad moments in life. They come in all shapes and sizes and levels of significance. Sometimes they come in the form of things like, I'm being offered a job in Saudi Arabia, and I don't know if that's the best direction for my family to go. What college should I attend when I graduate? Should I really marry this guy or not? I just got a $100 gift. What should I do with it? I remember a few years ago when we had the opportunity to buy a house. We haven't done that very often as we went from parsonage to parsonage for quite a many years. But I remember as we were looking for a house, that we kept praying this prayer, God, help us to find the house that you want us to be in. And God, help us not be so attached to a house that when it's time for us to move on, that we are not willing to be obedient. We really wanted God to be important in that decision. We didn't just want to find enough bedrooms for our family, which is always something to consider. We didn't just want to find the prettiest house in our price range. We wanted to be where God wanted us to be. Not surprisingly, here at the church, we're at another one of those crossroads. Most of you probably heard Governor Abbott's lifting of the mask-wearing mandate in Texas starting Wednesday. There's so many strong voices in the church that say, yay, please don't make me wear one more mask to worship. And there are equally strong voices that are saying, please, keep us safe. We're still in the middle of a pandemic. Strong voices on both sides. It's a crossroads. There are multiple options in front of us. Which direction should we travel? Is it just the person? Do we take a poll and figure out how many's on this side and how many's on this side? And what do we do to satisfy everybody in a situation that's not going to satisfy everybody? When we stand at these kinds of crossroads and we truly seek to discern and understand the road that God wants us to take, the challenge is actually greater. It's much easier when we're looking at how to move forward to say things like, what's the easy path? And let me take that. What's the path that I like? What's the path where I'm more comfortable? It's easier to pick the way forward when you say things like, will that path please more people, especially me? Will that path lead me to more money or more prosperity or some other personal gain? But when all of those factors truly take a back seat to God's desire for our lives, how do we know which way is the good way so that we can walk in it? You know, last week we spent some time on the story of the Good Samaritan, an oxymoron if there ever was one in the Jewish world. Good and Samaritan don't belong together any more than jumbo and shrimp do, okay? But as a man who's been beaten half to death lays on the side of the road between Jerusalem and Jericho, crossroad moments are happening because everybody who walks onto that scene has to decide, what do I do? Do I help or do I not help? We know those moments, right? I see them every time I head over to Kroger. There's someone sitting there saying, need assistance. Anything helps. Lost job, veteran, kids hungry. God bless. There's so many precious children in the world who need a family. There's so many broken people in need of comfort and peace and hope. God, who do we help? How do we help? What's the best path? And you may not very often think of that story from the side of the man who's laying dead or half dead on the side of the road. You know, when a Samaritan walks up to him, he's really wondering if he even wants the help. I got to take a trip to Japan, and right in front of my eyes, out on the streets of Tokyo, a motorcycle was hit by a car, and there was a man laying on the ground. And I immediately sprung into action. I was going to go out there and help him, and a Japanese man grabbed my arm and pulled me out, and he says, Gaijin, he does not want you to touch him, no matter if he dies. He does not want the hands of a foreigner upon him. Even that guy on the side of the road is at a crossroads, and how many times in our half-broken state are we willing or unwilling to take help from someone who wants to reach out to us? How many times, instead of just finding someone who will offer the love of Christ to us, do we instead just stuff it inside and try to stay strong for all the people around us? There's a man I was working with not long ago. He got arrested for attempting to buy sex. I said, have you told your wife? No. Number one, I'm going, how in the world has she not found out? But the other thing is, if she really loves you, you're robbing yourself and of the person who can support you the most through this. His response was, I need to clean up this mess myself before I share it with anybody else. It's a crossroads.
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
Talked in weeks previous that where you stand gives you a different perspective for the crossroad, and who you stand with helps you in that decision of what your next best step is when you head out in the direction that God is leading you. We talked about the second verb, look. So I look around, I'm mindful of the situation, I'm mindful of where God is working, and today we move to the part where it says that we need to ask for directions. Sorry, guys. Yes, I said it out loud. We need to ask for directions. Ladies, go gentle on your husband's rib cage right now. But in our context, active asking involves such things as reading scripture and praying and listening. So like Jeremiah text that we lifted up earlier says, ask for the ancient paths. Now, I think ancient paths aren't just the way things were done before. Ancient paths are those places that we can look at and that we can see people who are aligned with the will of God. And we can say, wow, she is really walking with the Lord. He is really being obedient. God's laws and God's grace are showing through with such faithfulness. And promises and decree and statutes are being offered to us as gifts. And those are ancient paths. I like how it gets lifted up in Psalm 119, starting in verse 9. It says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word, your being God's word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Do you hear those? The best way forward is in alignment with God's scripture, his decrees, his statutes. The way that the Holy Spirit illuminates and helps us to understand those things. I've hidden your word in my heart. I rejoice in following your statutes. They're not some heavy burden I have to carry. I'm dancing. I'm light. I'm rejoicing. I meditate on your precepts. I consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Those are the ancient paths. And if we're really going to follow the Lord and not just try to fit him in around the edges of our life, not in the little gaps in our schedule, then we need to have insight into those ancient paths. We need to know his word so that we can walk according to it. But it's more than that, isn't it? It's not just knowing the word of scripture, but also knowing the living word of Christ. And so, in many ways, having the knowledge and understanding of the ancient paths helps to shape and form our present relationship and reality with God through the Holy Spirit. So the past, it enlightens and illuminates our present. And that requires, my brothers and sisters, a lot of prayer. Prayer was never intended to be a box-checking exercise. Prayer was never intended to be, I said my prayer in the morning, check. I said my prayer over my meals, check. I said my prayer before I went to sleep, check. Well, I almost didn't fall asleep. But it was never intended to be this box-checking kind of way of living with God. Prayer is this immersive, ongoing dialogue with God through the Spirit. And I love the mornings when I wake up and the first words out of my mouth or in my mind are, good morning, God. What do you have for me today? Where are we going today? Which way should I go? Show me. Please, just show me. Lead me. Guide me. Please. I want to be like the Apostle Paul. We see him traveling the country and the Spirit says, don't go to Asia. Don't go to Bithynia. Come to Macedonia. All right, come to Macedonia. And I love how this week, I don't know about y'all, but when I do things like get the joy of sharing with you, so many things happen during the week that lead into these moments. One of them happened on Tuesday. Ryan was leading our staff devotional. And he lifted up some verses from Ezekiel. And in the book of Ezekiel, if you read it, there's some crazy visions and stuff going on, but not so much in this part. But this is when Ezekiel is being called to be a prophet. And it starts out like this. God says to Ezekiel, "Son of man, stand up on your feet and I'll speak to you." And as he spoke, the Lord came into me and he raised me to my feet and I heard him speaking to me. Then I looked and I saw a hand stretched out to me, and in it was a scroll which God unrolled before me. And then he said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll. Then go and speak to the people of Israel." So I opened my mouth and he gave me the scroll to eat. And he said, "Son of man, eat the scroll and fill your stomach with it." So I ate it and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. The word of the Lord, as sweet as honey in his mouth. And then God said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, listen carefully and take to heart all the words I speak to you. Go now to your people in exile and speak to them. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, whether they listen or fail to listen." Listen. You're at a crossroads. Listen. And let the ancient path help you understand the present. Because when the ancient path helps us to understand our present, then they help to dictate our future. They help us to know which way to walk. There's so many places in Scripture where that all comes together, but I want to share this one with you. This is from Matthew chapter 11. It says, Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, and he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." Now, if you look up like commentaries on this, some will say, well, John was in prison, so he kind of entered into this dark, doubting time. Or maybe Jesus wasn't doing the things that John expected, so he was kind of checking up or holding Jesus accountable. I do not believe that the baby who jumped in the womb of his mama recognizing Jesus is having any doubts right now. But what he is doing is he is sending his disciples so that they can see Jesus with their own eyes. So they can see this Messiah, the ancient path, who is now living among them, so that when John dies, his disciples are going to know who to go and follow, so that they will have the future that God has crafted for them. It's all these things coming together, so that as they come to their crossroads, they know where to go. Have you met Jesus that way? Have you seen him be the father to the fatherless and the one who gives sight to the blind? Have you met him in that way so that you follow him with exuberance? In just a few moments, we're going to share in Holy Communion together. It's a wonderful place where the ancient paths of Scripture and church tradition meet us in the real, now, room, presence, online. It's a place where Christ's Spirit is made known. It's not just a symbolic act. It's a place where God's grace is once again experienced. We call it a means of grace in the Methodist Church. But before we get there, I want to ask you a question. What's your crossroad look like right now? What's the decision that you're facing? Are you listening to the Lord? I know what you might say. I'm listening, Chris. I don't seem to be hearing anything. Okay, I get that too. Just be patient. Be persistent. I'm in the middle of a pretty big one right now. So I appreciate your prayers just as I'm praying for you. But I know that the faithful God that I trust with my life, because he has entrusted his love and grace to me through his own life, will be faithful. And the best way is the way that follows him. God, I just ask that you would always help us follow you, no matter what. That we would know that your way is better than my way, and that your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and that all that you offer us is best and abundant. Help us to follow you through our crossroads, Lord. May we ask for the ancient paths and find the best way to go so we can walk in them now and forever.